All right, episode 89. We're back, Rob.
We're back.
We're back coming in hot.
We're back.
All right, so on the last episode, we made a reference to the very popular Kiss song, Let's Put the X in Sex, and we were going to clarify what the deal is.
Yeah.
On our own.
I said in that podcast that I thought that Kyler's father had done some sound work on that song or that album or something.
Yes.
What we found out is that his father was the assistant audio engineer on the track Lick It Up.
On the album.
The entire album, Lick It Up.
Which is, we were kind of right and kind of wrong.
It's a no makeup album.
It's the first no makeup album.
That's right.
Okay, but come to find out that Let's Put the X in Sex is not from that album.
Right.
Right.
So I think we were all right.
We're all right. Yeah, I mean, what's confusing about it is that song, Let's Put the X, you know, is actually the first single on a greatest hits album, Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits. However, that makes no sense because it wasn't on any other album.
Right.
So therein lies the confusion.
We need further investigation on that one.
Yeah.
I feel like. But anyway, enough about Kiss.
Yeah. But still, it's pretty badass that Kyler's dad was an audio engineer on it. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
So I think it was recorded up in New York.
It was a big album, too.
It was a huge album.
I mean, huge. That was a big album.
Again, for saying that we're not Kiss fans, it seems like we talk about Kiss a fair amount.
So. Well, I mean, they are marketers.
Yeah. Well, that's a great point. That's a great, you know, slap a logo on it and sell it, baby.
You got it.
So, all right. Well, episode 89, we're back. Enough about Kiss. What are we going to talk about, Rob?
We're going to take a little trip overseas.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited about this one.
So I just got back from a wonderful, I'm going to call it my belated honeymoon. COVID canceled the first one.
I know.
And so we just got back from a lovely, lovely vacation to Italy.
Yes.
To Italy, where we spent a few days in Rome.
Okay.
And toured all the things and then went over to the coast and spent some time there just sort of relaxing.
Yes.
And
why don't we put a bunch of your personal photos on our company Instagram and let everybody see the magical water?
We absolutely can. I'm okay with that as long as I can pick which photos we share.
I'm joshing here.
No, it was a great trip. And as anyone knows who's been to Italy, the immediate, for me anyway, just the history. I mean, just the art and the history and the culture.
Old.
And man, it's old.
Things are old there.
They've been doing stuff for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, you go into Europe and you see some keystones on some building. It's like, 1123. And you're like, wait a minute.
We are a nation of newbies.
Yeah.
Newbies over here.
Noobs. Yeah.
So anyway, like I said, we spent the first few days in Rome and we toured all of the things. We did the Vatican, we did the Forum, we did the Colosseum, we did the catacombs. And one of the cool things that we did was the Basilica of St. Clement's.
Okay. Right?
And let me preface this by saying I'm going to butcher some of the names.
Some of the pronunciations.
I'm also going to butcher probably the story.
That's all right.
Just know that I know I'm butchering.
Well, here's the good news. I think I've pulled the numbers and our subscriber rate in Italy is not very high.
Okay.
So I don't think anyone's going to be offended.
All right. Well,
about
good to know.
Mispronunciation.
So one of the things that we did, and my wife really wanted to go see, I didn't know much about it going into it, but now I see why she thought it was so great, was the Basilica at St. Clement's, right? So it's a church. And it's a church in three layers, meaning it's a church on top of a church on top of another church.
Okay.
Why would that be? That's crazy. Why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
Because they've been around forever.
Yeah.
And so they originally built a church. Well, that collapsed over time. And then what the Romans do is just build stuff on top of stuff.
Yeah. It seems a very normal thing, I guess, in sort of history is to just, it burned down or it's something. But then to just do it all over again in exactly the same spot.
And a lot of the reason that they do that is because they wisely use the foundation.
Yes.
Right? So the thing crumbles, but the foundation is still there. So they will follow you. If you look at the overlays of the three different churches, the foundations are very much the same.
Yeah.
So that's what they did. So it's this great, just sort of amazing church that you can walk into, and then you just sort of drop down two floors, right, and just sort of see historically.
So version one crumbled. Version two, did it crumble as well?
Yeah.
Was there fire in it?
There was a fire. There was a fire.
Yeah. Okay.
Nope,
yeah.
That's exactly right.
All right. So how much? Because we've got a three layer sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah.
How much of the base bun? And then the next level, how much,
it's kind of exactly what you think, right? Meaning you go all the way down in the basement and there are a couple of rooms that are preserved pretty well where it's like, oh wow, I can like, there it is. I can see the benches where they sat and the whole thing.
Dude, that's insane.
But then you walk through to other places and it's there's part of a wall or there's part of a mosaic that was left.
Okay. And do we know when the first one was built, version one was built or no?
We do. We do. Okay. It was a long, long, long time ago.
Okay. All right.
I hesitate to put a number on it. It was a long time ago.
Okay.
One of the things that I thought was fantastic was within this basilica, way down low, is the first iteration of the written Italian language.
Okay.
Along with a piece of art.
Okay.
Right? So it's a piece of artwork.
Okay.
That has written Italian language, and it's the first written Italian word.
I love this.
That they know of.
Yeah.
And you're going to love this because it's sort of the story. Again, I'm going to butcher it, and apologies. But the story was St. Clement was in a battle, and he convinced his enemies that he was a piece of stone.
Okay.
Right? And he talked them into fighting this piece of stone to distract them while he escaped.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah. Which is a crazy story in and of itself.
A little misdirection there.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, I turned myself into a piece of stone.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm sneaking out the back door.
So it was called the Martyrdom of St. Clement, right? So Sicinius, I believe is his name. He instructs the servants to drag St. Clement, who he's convinced is a piece of stone, off while so St. Clement's can get away. Well, so you've got this, and look it up, or we'll post a picture of it. It's this lovely, it's almost like it's kind of like the first, it looks like a comic book panel in a way.
Okay.
A very old comic book panel.
Yeah.
First edition.
Okay. those ones are worth money.
And these guys are dragging this column, right, that they believe to be St. Clement's. And so there's dialogue written right beneath it. And I'm not going to try and say it in Italian because I'll butcher it beyond belief. But the very first written Italian word along with the artwork was, "Pull, you sons of bitches."
Love it,
right? It's pull, you sons of bitches.
Profanity.
Gus Mario, Alberto, pull. Get in there with the pull. Okay. Is the full translation. And I was dying because inside I'm still a 12-year-old kid.
Yeah.
At the notion that my wife does not like curse words.
Okay.
And I'm like,
sons of bitches.
I'm like, babe, the very first written Italian word was sons. It was a curse word.
That's fantastic.
And she just immediately put her palm to her hand.
Yeah.
And it's like, I know you're going to get home and tell Ian and it's going to be the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I still chuckle about it, but it was so cool just to, I'm making light of it, but just to see and try to fathom.
Yeah.
Like as old as that was, that they were depicting these scenes with art and writing.
Yeah.
Funny dialogue,
sure,
or interesting dialogue to go along with this picture.
Well, I mean, if you study the history of graphic design, you know, there is a tremendous, it coincides obviously with Gutenberg and movable type and the printing, and the first thing we print is the Bible and stuff, you know. So there is a whole, but before all that, it was all illuminated manuscripts, illuminated Bibles, and it really was, okay, I know not all of you guys can read, right? To your point about a comic book, right? It's like, okay, here's the page of all the writing. This is what the scripture is telling us, or what the writing is telling us, right? What the prose is.
Right.
And then, okay, here's the painted picture that, you know, it's a Cissé.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Here's actually what's happening. Of like, oh, we're slaying the dragon, or we're doing that, or whatever the case may be, right? So it's interesting that this has survived and is kind of get a chuckle out of, you know, the profanity of the story.
And that was the other thing that was, I thought was so cool, was like going through the Vatican and everything else and learning about the different popes and learning over the years and over the centuries and learning about each of their personalities.
Okay.
So you not only got just sort of the history and this pope did this or did that, but you got to see their personalities come through in some of the relics and the artwork and the tombs and stuff that were left behind. Same holds true with the artists, right? Raphael and
Michelangelo.
And Michelangelo had this great sort of dueling personality kind of thing going. One of the things that was funny too was one of the, I forget which pope, one of the popes was buried in 1491.
Okay.
And on his inscription at his tomb, he's celebrating discovering the new world.
A year
before it was actually discovered. So he was this pompous, sort of arrogant. Yeah. You know, clearly they were planning the expedition then.
Sure.
But he just went ahead and claimed it.
Yeah. He's like, I did it.
He's like, I did it.
Under my watch.
I discovered it under my watch.
That's fantastic.
So you get to see, you know, through, and that, I thought that was really cool, is through all of these things, whether it was the catacombs, whether it was the museums, whether it was, you got to see sort of the personalities of these people come through, sure. Even in Pompeii.
Okay.
And those guys partied in Pompeii.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about Pompeii, to be honest. I mean, I know it's topical, but
there was a lot of wine drinking.
Okay.
I mean, it's Italy.
Yeah.
The people of Pompeii were incredibly wealthy, the majority of them. So some of the old houses that you see are huge.
Really?
And I'm talking big by today's standards.
Wow.
Like, you'd walk in and it's, and you know, this one, I mean, it was probably 4,000 square feet.
Wow.
And then in the back, he had a vineyard. They had like their own vineyard, so they'd make all their wine. There was a lot of phallic art going on.
I love it.
In Pompeii.
Okay.
A lot of phallic signage.
Yeah. Well, I think you had mentioned something about the brothels, right? There are brothels.
They were brothels.
And if you want to talk about the universal symbols, right? I can't read, but hey, I see what this is.
If I see a wiener,
yeah,
a pointed wiener on a sign,
yeah,
that would direct you to the brothel.
Yeah, fascinating.
But I think also too, just going back to like the and that was the other thing too. In Pompeii was like as old as that was. The mosaics on the floor. I mean, even the floors.
Yeah, just unbelievable.
The most intricate, unbelievable mosaics.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just think about the time, again, that sense of time and like how long it took these people to do this work.
Yeah.
So many years ago. It was just incredible.
Yeah. It gives you, you don't really understand history until you go over to Europe,
No.
And then there's a little bit of a cynic in me that says, hey, what we do for a living is commercial art, you know?
Right.
And we are work for hire, you know? I mean, companies hire us in order to execute their vision, right? Or to help them solve a communication challenge or an objective or to brand something or advertising is the power of persuasion. How do we convince somebody that our product is better or newer or whatever, or you need it. You don't even need it, but it's our job to make sure you know you need it, right? Well, a lot of that's, you had mentioned Raphael and Michelangelo and, you know, a lot of the, you know, it's, hey, that's the building is the client, you know what I mean? Or the church is the client, they're the employer, you know what I mean? It's a, hey, I want a painting of this, I want a this or that, you know, and that's who pays the bills, you know?
Yep.
And a lot of the subject matter and a lot of that stuff, you know, associated with a lot of those artists at the time was, okay, hey, I mean, again, it sounds a little, but it's like, hey, I'm paying the bills by doing this, but I'm also doing all these other things on the side hatch. And that's why we consider some of these artists, these great Renaissance artists, you know, but it's like, okay, well, you're still working for your client.
Yeah,
you know?
No, Raphael was very much paid to come in and paint the apartment of the Pope, right? In the upper thing. And I'm more of a Raphael fan, I think, than Michelangelo.
Yeah.
It's just my personal preference. I like his style a little bit better.
You may be swayed when you go back and you go to Firenze and you go up to Florence and go to the Michelangelo Museum and you see all of the sculptures.
I might be.
And you all the stuff. It's pretty incredible. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. So, but hey, Raphael is not a bad, if you're going to pick if you're going to pick a Ninja Turtle, Raphael is a great Ninja Turtle.
Well, and I love that we were telling this anecdote or our guide was telling us about how Raphael was Raphael and Michelangelo were working at the same time in the same building, right? So Raphael was very warm and inviting and would, hey, Michael, come look at my work in progress. Yeah, Check out what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't go the other way. Michelangelo would not let Raphael see what he was working
on. Interesting. He covered it up with drapery and things?
Covered it up and wouldn't like, no, come in.
No one gets to see it.
Don't come in.
Okay.
Yet, in Michelangelo's work, you see a lot of Raphael things that he borrowed. Like the figure and the way that he did some of the shapes. There's a couple of like...
He'd poach some
on
things.
On the big ones. He poached a little bit of the sort of human form in a few places.
Interesting. Little shortcuts.
Little shortcuts. Or a nod to somebody doing great work. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
That's right.
It was the AI. It was the AI of the day.
Right? the AI of the day.
We just copied what's happening down the hall. So... yeah, it's interesting to think about sort of commercial art in that respect and just the longevity of that, right? And the timelessness, if you think about it from a design perspective. A lot of that stuff is just timeless, you know? I mean, it's as beautiful
today
as it was back then. Now, we do have the beauty of science and artistic preservation and things, right? So But it's pretty remarkable, pretty awesome stuff.
It's just so intricate. Like, and again, you think about like the amount of time that it took to do these things.
Mind numbing, right?
It's crazy. We were talking in the office the other day when I got back about the Vatican and the writing that's around the top.
Yeah, up in the cupola, right?
Up in the cupola is actually, it's 8 feet, the letters are 8 feet tall and it's all mosaic.
Yeah.
And it took them, they stalled out because it took 80 years just for that part of it.
That's crazy.
Think about that. Yeah. 80 years, an entire person's lifetime.
Yeah.
Back then,
a couple generations. Yeah.
Just for that one
little stretch,
8 foot tall stretch of the thing. I mean, put that into perspective.
Yeah. Can you imagine working on one client your entire life, Rob? And then
just your part of it.
No. And then training your kid, hey, come to work with dad.
Yeah.
Here, you know what I mean? We're going to cut some glass. We're going to make some mosaic letters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you're going to kick the bucket. And then your child is taking over for you. And that still doesn't finish the project, right? You
know? It's remarkable. I mean, it's just really remarkable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. What's amazing to me too is, for those that have been there, is to the cupola, to your point, is the distance, right? You see it from the floor and you're like, wow, that is incredible. You know, it is, I mean, not necessarily photorealistic, but it is absolutely unbelievable from an artistic value. And then you go up there, and you're like, what the fuck?
It's all wonky and
The mosaic and it's like
imperfect.
It's got grout lines as wide as your thumb. You know what I mean? And it's like, whoa, you can touch the, like, this is like, how did this survive? Like, what in the world is happening here? Like, how did they do all this? It really is remarkable. So.
Yeah, and the scale. I mean, it's true. The scale of everything over there is remarkably ginormous.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome.
So. You know.
It does give a really good appreciation for history, and it's interesting to think about how fast we are. You know, like, oh, Amazon's going to take a day to give me
a whole day?
Yeah, my such and such, you know
what I mean? No same-day delivery?
Yeah, yet we're talking about 80 years on an 8-foot-tall letter.
80 years.
So it's pretty remarkable. So, you know, but we turn client work so quickly, you know? So
right. There you go.
Yeah.
We're like the opposite, really, of that.
Yeah. It's interesting. So, well, I can't wait to hear more stories about Italy.
I could ramble on. It's all.
Yeah, we'll do another one. We'll do another one. Anything else for this one?
I don't think so. Okay. Let's leave it there for right now.
Cool. All right. Where can everybody find us, Mr.
Oh, they can find us on the internets, of course, at mocktheagency.com or on all the social networks.
Yes.
At Mock the Agency.
Let us know your favorite Renaissance.
Renaissance.
Yeah.
Bye.